Now the epistle for today's Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 5. Dearly beloved, be you humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation, casting all your care upon him, for he hath care of you. Be sober and watch, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye strong in faith, knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. At that time, the publicans and sinners drew nigh unto Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he said to them this parable, saying, What man of you that hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert, and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, laid upon his shoulders, rejoicing and coming home, called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance, more than upon 99 just who need not penance. Or what woman, having 10 groats, if she lose one groat, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, call together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, because I found the groat which I had lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In this past century, my dear faithful, one of the most famous promoters of the Sacred Heart was Father Matteo Crowley Baby, or Father Matteo as he was usually called. This priest traveled throughout the world preaching on the most Sacred Heart of our Lord, seeking to enkindle the fire of love for it in the hearts of both religious and the faithful alike. One of the greatest and most important means Father Matteo used was the enthronement of the home to the Sacred Heart. His plan was to have each family have a picture of the Sacred Heart set in a place of honor in the home, and the family, with the priest present, consecrate themselves and their home to the Sacred Heart. In Father Matteo's own words, the enthronement is the official and social recognition of the loving kingship of the heart of Jesus in a Christian family. You see, the enthronement is designed to call upon Christ to be king of that home. And this is done by, as I said, the Sacred Heart being set in a place of honor to reign from it as a throne. And the family's consecration to our Lord, offering everything, all that they have, all that they are, to his most Sacred Heart, as servants to their beloved King. The reason Father Matteo saw the necessity for this enthronement and social recognition of Christ's kingship, was firstly the increasing attack on the Christian family. Immorality, impurity, and divorce were spreading far and wide in Father Matteo's day, and so he sought to battle these anti-Christian attitudes towards the family by reestablishing the reign of Christ in each family, one at a time. He knew, as our Lord promised to St. Mark and Mary, that our Lord, being himself the fount of all blessings, he would distribute these blessings abundantly wherever the image of his heart had found a place. In his journeys throughout the world, from America to China and everywhere in between, Father Matteo heard many stories of how the Sacred Heart blessed the families that enthroned our Lord in their home. One such story occurred during World War I. Only the mother and her children were still at home, for both her husband and her eldest son were off fighting in the Great War. Now it happened one day that the mother received an official telegram while at home. This telegram told of the death of her eldest son. Of course, this came as a terrible shock, but conquering her emotion, this woman ran to the drawing room, placed the telegram at the feet of the King of Love, then calmly called her little ones and servants, asking that the throne of the Sacred Heart be adorned with unusual splendor. She herself helped to beautify the shrine with flowers and candles. Then she led all her household in a hymn to the Sacred Heart, and followed this by reciting again the act of the consecration of the family. Finally, finishing the prayers, the mother took up the telegram and read it to her children. "Your brother," she said, sobbing, "has gone to the arms of his king. God's will be done. Long live his Sacred Heart. May his kingdom come." The family, of course, all wept. But they did so on the heart of Jesus, and thus they were able to weep peacefully and with resignation in this time of tragedy. Instead of an empty sorrow, their grief was made highly meritorious instead. Now I tell this story, my dear faithful, even though it does not have anything miraculous in it, specifically because it does not have anything miraculous in it. It shows these ordinary ways that the Sacred Heart helps us, the blessings that he alone can give. This is the rain that Father Matteo preached, and it is exactly what we read of in today's epistle. For St. Peter tells us in this epistle, "After you have suffered a little, he, that is Christ, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you." We suffer a little by submitting ourselves to God's will, by carrying our crosses, by practicing virtue, avoiding sin. And in return, God blesses us with more grace. He perfects us by giving us more sanctifying grace. And he constantly strengthens us to carry on. We know that if we do our part, then we can have confidence that the Sacred Heart will thus establish us through his grace in the way to salvation. You know, my dear faithful, that in order to save our souls, God has already blessed us with so many great things. The fact that we were created out of nothing, chosen out of all possible persons who could have existed to be created and set here upon earth. That we live is the first proof of God's love for us. However, due to Adam and Eve's sin and our own personal sins as well, we are in need of a Redeemer. And so the infinite God descended to earth to dwell amongst us. He took upon himself our human nature in order to win us back to him and to buy grace for us by his most precious blood. He foreknew from all eternity that we would each be here at this moment, attending the sacrifice of the Mass. And it is his grace that he won for us by his death, his blessing, his gift to us, that we have the Mass in the first place, that we have the faith, the opportunity to go to Mass, and the will to be here. Truly, there is no good that we have that the Sacred Heart has not given to us. For he is, as he told St. Margaret Mary, the fount of all blessings. But he did not give these graces to us and then leave us to ourselves to work out the rest. By divine providence, the Sacred Heart follows us throughout our lives, through every step of the way, with an infinite desire to win our hearts, to save our souls, and to bring us to everlasting peace and happiness. However, Jesus Christ does not wish to give us this peace and happiness only in heaven. If the Sacred Heart reigns over us, if we consecrate ourselves to him and strive to live this consecration, he has promised so many blessings even in this life on earth. There will be peace in the home, he said. The faithful, that is, those who truly are faithful to their consecration to the Sacred Heart, striving to give everything to Christ, they will have the peace of conscience that only Christ can give. And that, my dear faithful, is truly no small gift. Try as man might, we can never truly silence our conscience when we do wrong. It will always accuse us, and that guilt will weigh us down and fill us with misery. But following the virtues of our Lord and using his grace, we can obtain peace, peace in our conscience. Then, too, another promise of the Sacred Heart is that he will be our refuge in sorrow, as he was for the family in the story. Any sorrow, even the sudden death of a loved one, can be accepted peacefully if we look to and rest upon the Sacred Heart. We will recognize that freely God gave to us every good that we have, including our lives and the lives of our families and friends. And so, just as freely, God may take these gifts back to himself. In his infinite wisdom, he foresaw that that moment was the right time for this loss. And so, like the mother in the story, we too can have peace, praying God's will be done. But perhaps the most assuring gift the Sacred Heart has to give to us in our own day is surety during confusion. That is certainty that the Sacred Heart, the King, has everything under control. All the troubles in the world, whether political or religious, we should not be overworried at them. Christ is still the King over all, and only what he permits to happen can happen. Yes, we do see sin added upon sin in our modern world, evil laws set in place even in our own country, a false religion set up in once Catholic churches, so many evils that we of ourselves cannot change. For example, for just over 45 years now, abortion has run rampant throughout our country. And now, according to one estimate, over 60 million abortions have taken place here in America alone. That's 60 million infants whose lives were taken from them before they could draw even their first breath of life. This is a sin of our country which must be punished. And yet, God still holds back from the punishment. In His divine wisdom, He permits this evil to continue, because in the end, there will be a greater good that He draws from it. We may not be able to see it now, but we may be certain, even in this time of chaos and confusion, that the Sacred Heart pours His grace upon the world to save souls. Who knows, but maybe that greater good is our own sanctification that God will draw out of it. For the evil that we see in our world should urge us on to be better. With the utmost confidence, then, we can still have, we ought to have, a persevering trust in our Lord, and to give ourselves wholeheartedly to Him by truly striving not just to be good, but to be living saints. Make our Lord, my dear faithful, the King over your life. And thus, to do this, I encourage you to enthrone your home to the Sacred Heart. Make this formal declaration that our Lord Jesus Christ is the King over your home and your family. And if you have already done so, enthroned our Lord, renew your consecration and resolve to live the enthronement more perfectly. By the enthronement, you have consecrated yourself to Christ, given a place of honor in your home to Him as your King. And He thus watches from it over you at all times to pour His graces upon you. Follow your King by making a return to Him, by striving for virtue and avoiding sin. Prove that He reigns over you and your family, and you will find He will be your strength and your support. Rest on the Sacred Heart, and our Lord will bring you peace, both in this life and in the next. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.